ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपरिपूर्णो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वी हैव टू कंटिन्यू मंत्रास फ्रॉम बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद एंड वी हैव बीन सीइंग दिस अहम् ब्रह्मास्मि फ्रॉम डिफरेंट एंगल्स। Even though we have heard many times, we have understood very clearly, we must be convinced of what we have understood. What we have understood must be very clear for us. Just as water is the source, the reality, the truth of the form, name and the function called ocean, full of waves. There is a truth, the reality, the source of this entire world of forms, names and functions. It is that reality which is said to be the absolute reality, ultimate truth. There is nothing which is beyond that reality. There is nothing which is beyond that reality. That is why it is called absolute reality. And this reality happens to be the abstract, most abstract, subtlest. Being the very source of knowledge, no word can describe that reality. No word can be used to denote that reality. I explained many times why words cannot denote or describe the reality. Because word itself is expression of manifest knowledge. Whereas reality is the very source of manifest knowledge. So word comes much later. Word itself has its origin only in reality. Therefore, word cannot describe. Second thing, word can describe only a thing which has attributes. And in reality, is of the nature of attributelessness, therefore words also cannot describe the reality. So vacham agocharam, vacham agocharam. It is not available for word description. So it is also indriya agocharam. It is also not available for perception. So manasa achintyam is also inconceivable. Because this reality is not at all, not even an object, not at all an object. So when you say abstract and subtlest, taking place is formless. So Shastram uses this verse, Brahma and Atma. So these two words, specially used terms, also reveal the reality, imply the reality only in terms of its given nature. And for a human being, discovering the reality is a choiceless end. It has to be discovered. And we will not make efforts, we will not be interested in knowing, we will not be inclined to know, unless and until we know the value of knowing it. Somehow, because of some punyam, we come to know of the value of this knowledge, of the truth, and we also understand this fact that there is also pramanam available, there is also means of knowledge available to discover this. That's why we've been studying Upanishads. Upanishads serve as means of knowledge of this truth. Upanishad gives us all important, necessary information to arrive at this truth. As we understood in Taittiriyam, the hint is given. Very explicitly it is said, reality is reality of the universe, understood really is freedom. Once you know the truth, knowing the truth itself is freedom. Mokshaha. So knowledge and mokshaha, which is our ultimate goal, being identical, is revealed in the very first opening statement of the Brahmanandavalli. So the benefit of knowledge itself is revealed in the very first statement. Brahmavit paramapnoti. And then, same Upanishad, immediately the nature of that Brahman is also revealed. There is a beautiful, very brief definition of that reality is given. And each word in that definition of reality, don't think I'm talking something unnecessary. I'm taking it to Aham Brahmasmi. Each word used in the definition reveals Brahman, reveals the reality in terms of its nature, negating what the reality is not. That's very important. Each word in the definition of that reality reveals reality in terms of its nature, negating what the reality, stating what the reality is not. And the definition of reality is called a Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam means direct definition. What is reality? Brahma. What is Brahma? It's the word implying the reality in terms of its nature. What is the reality implied by the term Brahma? Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Every word, the word Satyam, the word Jnanam, the word Anantam, every word reveals reality in terms of its given nature, simultaneously states, negates what the reality is not. Anything which is not Satyam, no, is not Brahma. Anything which is not Jnanam is not Brahma. Anything which is not Anantam is not Brahma. Which means, the word Anantam means limitlessness. Limitless. So anything which is limited is not Brahma. How does it negate? Because the word limitless negates everything which is limited. The word Jnanam negates anything and everything which is inert as non-Brahma, abrahma. The word Satyam negates everything which doesn't have independent existence. So Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, three words, every word reveals reality in terms of its given nature. The word Sat is used first in the definition because A comes there, Sa, Sat. Chit comes, Jnanam comes next because A. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. You see, Sat, Chit, Ananda, you say also, the Chit is used, always is used secondly. The first word is used is Sat. The first word revealing the nature of reality is Sat. Even though the word Chit or Jnanam comes in second in the order, Upanishad gives us the clue. Reality has to be arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing. And when you arrive, if you have to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, it has to be arrived at as one's own self. And it is available for recognition only in one's own mind, as the innermost essential nature of an individual being, as the very truth of I. It is made very clear. Yo vedanihi tanguhayam parame vyoman. That is the sentence which tells you the fact. If you want to know the truth, don't go and search anywhere else. It is available for recognition in the cave of mind. And having said that, the same Upanishad also gives another definition of reality. What is another definition of reality? It is tatastha lakshanam, swarupa lakshanam. Direct definition of reality is given. Direct definition means how reality is. Reality is in the form of knowledge. Pure knowledge. It is a reality which is in the form of knowledge, is the existence, meaning of the word existence. And it is this reality which is in the form of pure knowledge, which is of the nature of existence, is free from all limitations. There is nothing in the world which is not subject to limitation. Everything here is Adimat. Everything is Adimat. Everything has Adi. everything has antavat. Everything is has an end also. Adimat antavat. Therefore, everything is subject to limitation. There is nothing which is not subject to limitation. You must be convinced of the fact right now, not afterwards. Don't go and say that we have to wait for the vision to dawn one day. There is nothing which is not subject to time limitation. There is nothing which is not subject to spatial limitation. There is nothing which is not subject to object limitation. Everything here is subject to all these threefold limitations. That everything is finite. Everything is limited. The absolute reality alone is free from all the three limitations. Why is it free from all limitations? Because being limitless is its very swarupam. That is how reality can be. So being limitless is the very nature. Swarupam. I am repeating this word, swarupam. Being limitless is swarupam. Therefore we say limitlessness is the swarupam of the reality. That is why the word anantam is used. So reality has to be arrived in terms of its nature of knowing, and that reality which is abstract is actually the meaning of the word existence, pure existence, which is free from all limitations. It is swarupa lakshanam. Therefore, the reality is implied by the term Brahma. Why is this reality implied by the term Brahma? Brihattamatvat Brahma. It has already grown. Brahmati. Now you also know Sanskritam. Brahmati. Brahmati means grows. Brahma means brihattamatvat Brahma. It is limitlessly biggest. There is nothing bigger or greater than the reality. It has already grown. It cannot grow anymore. Therefore it is Brahma. This is the direct definition, swarupa lakshanam, of Brahma. Having said that, so reality as knowledge can be arrived at as the truth of an individual, as the truth of I. Upanishad also gives another lakshanam, another definition called tatastha lakshanam, indirect definition of the reality. This definition is otherwise said to be another method of unfoldment called adhyaropa apavada prakriya or karanakarya prakriya or srishti prakriya. I use three different words. Srishti prakriya, the method of analysis of creation. The method of analyzing the cause-effect system. Or the method of superimposition and negation. Is adhyaropa apavada prakriya. Three methods. Same. three different names are given to the same analysis. And here, how is Brahman defined? Absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is that from which the universe has come into existence, by which the universe is sustained, and in which the entire universe resolves is Brahma. So it's not directly shown what is its swarupam. So here reality is presented as the existence of the universe, source of the universe. Therefore it is indirect definition. By stating this, by giving this indirect definition called Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahma, reality, Upanishad really does not establish the creation, does not say there is universe which is really there, there is a creation. No. What Upanishad wants us to understand is this universe enjoys existence because of the reality. Without the reality, the meaning of the word universe will be impossible. There will not be meaning of the world universe without the reality. Like what? Without the substance called water, there will not be a meaning for the word ocean. Without water, the word ocean will be meaningless. Similarly, without this reality, the word universe will be meaningless. When you say universe, it is a very, very profound expression. When you say ocean, it's a very simple word. Just it shows a given form, name and function. It indicates a given form, name and function. If you say sofa or mic, any word denotes a corresponding form and function. But the word universe, it stands for everything. It starts with the time, its space, all elements, elementals, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, actions, functions, the results, the laws which govern the results, which determine the results, and all forms of experiences of innumerable countless living beings, all forms of experiences, pairs of opposites. That's why it is incomprehensible. Universe is quite vast, and the whole universe, the word universe, will be meaningless minus reality. So this is the fact actually revealed by this Tatastha Lakshanam. So Tatastha Lakshanam says reality is that which is of the nature of existence, which is self-existent, which exists, which enjoys independent existence. So reality, to be, being is its very nature. To be, reality is not dependent on anything else here. Reality is because being is its nature. Why the reality is? Why is it? It is. Because being is its swarupam. That is why the word existence is used. Sat, satyam, being existent, being is the very swarupam of the reality. And to be, it is not dependent on anything else here. If you say, other than the reality, what else is there? Universe. You have to use two words, reality, universe. That's all, nothing else. Let us go to the example. When you say water, ocean, with reference to ocean, you have to use two words, water and ocean. That's all. What else is there? And water is the substance. What is ocean? Non-substantial form, name and function. Which means ocean is nothing but appearance of water. Ocean is not creation of water. Ocean is appearance of water. Similarly, the reality and the universe, if we take it, reality is a substance and the universe is non-substantial form, name, form and name, function. So reality does not create the universe. Universe is not the creation of the reality. Universe is the appearance of the reality. When you say universe is just the appearance of the reality, universe is the reality. Which means reality and the universe are not two different things. The entire universe is reality. So existence enjoyed by the universe is reality itself. So this is how we arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence. When we analyze the universe, this tatastha lakshanam of reality, wherein these prakriyas are inbuilt, we arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Where does the form ocean exist? Where does the function associated with the ocean exist? Where does the name, the word ocean exist? Not outside of the water. Similarly, the name, the form, the function associated with the word universe, nothing exists outside of the reality implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, existence of the reality is the existence of universe. In what form does water obtain in the ocean? In what form? Water, the H2O, obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. Similarly, here the reality implied by the term Brahma obtains in the form of existence of the universe. Therefore, existence is the very nature. So, tatastha lakshanam of Brahman helps us arrive at Brahman in terms of its nature of existence. Swarupa lakshanam of Brahman helps us arrive at reality in terms of its nature of jnanam. And then we say, is his existence and jnanam, knowledge, are they two different things? No. His existence is jnana knowledge. Knowledge is existence. Instead of using the word knowledge, we can say consciousness is existence, and existence is consciousness. And it is this existence which is arrived as pure consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. But how can I arrive at it? How can I understand the reality being available in the form of pure knowledge as the essential nature of an individual, as very truth of I? That is why another prakriya is used, that is panchakosha prakriya. Which prakriya is for what must be very clear. Panchakosha prakriya helps you analyze the individual human being thoroughly. It's a philosophical postmortem of an individual. You see, you understand individual is a composition of many layers of personality. There is a physical form and there are physiological functions happening within this physical body. And there are sense powers in their own respective places called golakams, which serve as instruments of knowledge. There are also subtle imperceptible powers obtaining in their own respective locations, which serve as instruments of actions. Amazing, 10 powers. They all form part of an individual. And above all, we have antahkaranam, where thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts keep flowing, thoughts keep fleeting, and thoughts resolve. Is called internal instrument of knowledge. Just the thoughts rise, thoughts keep flowing, thoughts counter, thoughts resolve. When the thoughts rise, we call it a waking state of antahkaranam. The thoughts resolve, we call it a deep sleep state of antahkaranam. And there is a time these thoughts rise and function with sense powers in waking state. There is a time thoughts rise, but they function independently without the sense powers. And then we have different state of mind experience called a dream. So there are three possible states of experience. And is one mind where thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts keep flowing, is given 4 different functional names as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. You don't have 4 compartments in the mind. Just 4 different functional names. And there must be a thought which should rise first and the foremost of the thoughts, without which no other thought is possible. And that thought because of that thought alone, identity, self-identity is possible. Self-consciousness is possible. Is said to be ahankara, which is knowledge of existence of one's own self. The thought has to rise, vritti has to rise for knowledge, the reality to be recognized as manifest knowledge. Even the reality is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is pure existence. Still, reality is as good as non-existent when it is not available for recognition. Reality becomes recognizable only when there is manifestation. The manifestation of knowledge, we understand when there is a rising of thought. So if manifestation of knowledge is in fact said to be vritti jnanam or cognition in the form of a thought. Because people talk about thoughts. What's the thought? Thought itself is a subtle phenomenon which has to be understood in terms of its rising. When there is knowledge, you understand there is a thought. When there is no knowledge, you understand. When there is no manifestation of knowledge, I should never say when there is no knowledge. There's never a time knowledge is not. Always knowledge is. Always knowledge is pure, the absolute reality. As pure knowledge is always there. Beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, always absolute reality is there in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Recognizably there, non-recognizably there. So recognizability is when there is manifestation of knowledge. It is there non-recognizably when there is no manifestation of knowledge. When there is manifestation, we understand there is rising of vritti, thought. Vritti jnana. So any other knowledge, any other emotion, anything else, any subtle from the obtaining of a thought is possible only when there is manifestation of this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am. So even these vrittis, the thoughts which constitute this antahkaranam, is also a very subtle layer of personality. There is intellectual and psychological, emotional, intellectual aspects of the antahkaranam. So where memory is also part of it, so ahankara is part of it. So all these different layers of personality. And even when the thoughts are all resolved also, we understand one more layer of personality. This total ignorance, avidya, which is called causal body, or anandamaya. It's called Anandamaya Kosha. The total ignorance, avidya, is also another layer. Because whatever is experienced as part of an individual is seen as a layer of personality. Total ignorance is experienced. Whenever there is experience of total ignorance, there is also experience of absence of experience, which otherwise is called nothingness, experience of nothingness. And there is intellectual layer, emotional layer, it's all emotions, then physiological functions, the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, the physical body. These all the human, they're all different aspects which constitute an individual human being. And we understood very well, we are seeing it differently here. Which of these aspects is not an object of knowledge? Like anything and everything external to the body, which are perceived externally through sense organs, are objects of knowledge. So this, all these aspects are also objects of knowledge. They are all known. Therefore, all the known, again, Vedanta says you must be convinced of the fact right now that anything known is of the nature of inertness. How can I understand what is inert? Known means inert only. Known is of the nature of inertness. If you ask me the question, how can I understand what is opaque? If anything is dependent on light to come to light, without light it cannot shine by itself, it is opaque. Understand? What is inert? How can I understand? Anything which is known is of the nature of inertness. The known is dependent on knowledge to become the known. It does not have the capacity to reveal its own existence. Therefore, it's a very clear understanding. Anything known is of the nature of inertness because it is dependent on knowledge to become the known. Light of knowledge to become the known. Therefore, what is known, if we say, the objective. Anything and everything which is an object of knowledge is the known, if we say, the objective universe includes every individual's, all these aspects obtaining in the form of fivefold layers of personality. All these different aspects which constitute an individual, which form part of an individual, physical body, mind, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, any number of thoughts, including ahankara. Is part of the objective of universe. The known. Everything is of the nature of inertness. But everything, how do we know there is ahankara? How do we know there are emotions? How do we know there is knowledge? How do we know there is ignorance? How do we know there are sense powers? How do we know there is perception taking place? How do we know powers of organs of actions? How do we know activities are happening? How do you know body is alive? How do you know physical activities are happening? How do you know there is a world around you? How do you know there are variety, plurality of beings, forms and functions? How do we know? because they all shine. The entire objective universe shines. And they all shine, these inert objective universe shines in the light of reality. And what is the light of reality in the presence of which the entire objective universe shines? The reality is of which is of the nature of consciousness, obtaining in the form of consciousness. Is the reality of the whole. So consciousness does not create anything here. Anything known as inert means, we have to understand, the inert objective universe enjoys the status of being existent only in the presence of consciousness, only when there is manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. That is why you say the universe never, never does the objective universe enjoy existence of its own. The universe, the known, can be said to be the matter. The known is said to be the matter. The known is said to be anatma. Anatma, abrahma, matter. The inert objective universe is matter. It includes ignorance. So nothing is created. Ignorance is not created. Anything known is not creation. Known is not creation. Known is not destructible. Known is not destroyed. Known is not created. Okay? Known is only appearance of knowledge. Known is manifestation of knowledge. We understand the fact that the known is the manifestation of knowledge, appearance of the knowledge, appearance of consciousness, the reality. There is not even knower known difference. There is only knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying what I'm saying. I don't hesitate to tell this to you because you've been listening to me for quite some time. For a beginner, I cannot talk to this like this. So the known is said to be anatma, the matter. It has no independent existence. So existence of the known is the existence of the knower. Existence of the illumined is the existence of the illuminator. And there is no illuminator, there is no knower other than knowledge, consciousness, which itself is the reality. Reality, consciousness are not two different things. So what is this universe? Opaque is not the creation of the light. Opaque is reflection of the light. So existence of opaque is only an existence of light. Therefore, we say there is no matter which is countably there as a parallel reality. There is no universe which is countably there as a parallel reality. whether the universe unmanifest is ignorance. Otherwise given a name, ignorance. So ignorance is another name for unmanifest power of reality. The power of reality manifest is universe. Universe unmanifest is ignorance. Ignorance manifest is what? The universe. Ignorance manifest? No. Ignorance is a name given to the power of knowledge. Power of knowledge unmanifest is given the name ignorance. Really speaking, there is no ignorance at all. There is only knowledge. There is only knowledge. There is only pure consciousness. There is only consciousness. And the power of consciousness, unmanifest, is given a name, ignorance. Same power of consciousness manifest is the universe. So ignorance is knowledge. World is knowledge. I used to give the example before, even though it is not 100%. Still, you can just understand, without stretching the example, you can understand. Stillness is water. Stillness of water is still water. Waves are also water. I used to say this before, all the time. So the power manifest is also, there is no such a thing called a power outside of, independent of reality. Power is reality. Unmanifest power is reality. Manifest power is reality. The power of reality manifest is the universe. Power of reality unmanifest is given the name ignorance. So power is knowledge. Power is consciousness. Even the consciousness is not the power. So ignorance is knowledge. Universe is knowledge. What is only knowledge. Manifest is knowledge. Unmanifest is also knowledge. Is it clear? You have to see right now there is no ignorance. Absolutely there is no ignorance. Of course, relatively there is ignorance. If you ask me anything more than computer, I say I don't know. Relatively there is ignorance. Absolutely there is no ignorance. You have to see right now. You have to see in the very class. As I'm talking to you, you must be able to see that. If you don't see, I'll go back. I'll restart again my own way of unfolding. Is there ignorance? Absolutely. No. Is there universe? Absolutely. No. What is then? Knowledge. Absolutely, what is only knowledge. Unmanifest is knowledge. Manifest is also knowledge. What is universe? Manifest power of knowledge. What is ignorance? Unmanifest power of knowledge. There is only knowledge. There is only consciousness. And it is this consciousness is always. Why is it? It's of the nature of being existent. Therefore, being existent is its nature. Therefore, existence is a word used to imply reality. Understand? And when does it begin? When is it not? when is it not? Never. When are you not? When are you not? You're always being aware of what is, being aware of what is not. In waking, you are being aware of what is. In dream, you are being aware of what is. In deep sleep state, you are being aware of what is. Why are you aware of what is? Because being aware is your nature. Awareness is your nature. In fact, you are awareness. How you are in deep sleep state, being aware of nothing being there, and experiencing nothingness, you are being aware of nothingness in deep sleep state. So also you will be being aware of nothingness even after death. How you are being aware of your body being not there, your body, your mind being, your own existence being not there, being there, not being aware of your existence, you are there in deep sleep state. So you will be being aware of not knowing your existence even in death. Even once in four yugas, and the whole jagat dissolves, you will be as a pure awareness, not being aware of your existence. You will be being aware of your existence. You will be not being aware of your existence. Whether you're aware of your existence or not aware of your existence, you are always as awareness itself. It is this awareness, it is this consciousness which is always there, is not subject to time. Time is relative factor, most intangible, subtlest factor, but comes and goes in awareness, in consciousness. So space comes and goes in awareness, becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest. And now you can say, if time and space are the, for us, incomprehensibly most intangible, subtle factors, and what about other, all bigger and bigger and biggest, small and smaller and smallest, anoraniyan, mahato mahiyan, all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, which constitute the objective universe. But we can say one word to denote this entire objective universe: anatma prapanchaha. Anatma prapanchaha doesn't have existence outside of awareness. Whether it appears in awareness, it disappears in awareness. Appearance, disappearance of the universe happen in awareness. It enjoys existence, it loses its status of being existence in awareness. Therefore, when you negate your existence of universe, and absolutely there is no universe, only knowledge. The universe which comes and goes, which is manifestation of knowledge, is relatively there objectively there. Absolutely, it's knowledge. But if you can say, is there an ocean by itself independently without water? No. Its appearance of water means you have to say, there is no ocean other than water. Ocean is an appearance of water. So the whole universe, time, space, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, which constitute the whole, is nothing but appearance of knowledge, which is manifestation of power of knowledge. Therefore, manifest power of knowledge is knowledge. When the universe is unmanifest, there is power of knowledge. Unmanifest is ignorance, otherwise called avidya or maya. This is also knowledge. Power is knowledge. Unmanifest power is knowledge. Manifest power is knowledge. Therefore, whether unmanifest power is unmanifest or manifest, what is only knowledge. Okay, and it is this knowledge which is defined directly as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Swarupa Lakshanam. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, ina jatani jivanti, yasmin payante bhivis abhisamvishanti. It's indirect definition, tatastha lakshanam. Whenever understand this, when reality is said, we want to know what is reality. Reality is that from which the universe comes into existence, in which the universe exists, into which the universe resolves. It is said, this is tatastha lakshanam. Because abstract, how are you going to understand it? So Upanishads use this indirect method. By stating what Upanishad wants to tell you is, that the universe is Brahma. All that is here is Brahma. All that is here is the reality, the knowledge, existence, Brahma. Where are you? And then, when you understand this fact, it is abstract fact, it's most wondrous. We say, Ascharyavat Pashyati, Ascharyavat Sunoti, Ascharyavat Vadati. It's just something, isn't it? Therefore, in excitement, oh, there's Lord. Who is Lord here? Bhagavan, Ishvara, there is no Ishvara, there is nothing which is the Lord. Absolutely, the Lord is the truth. We have relatively, we also enjoy Lordship. In my house, I am the Lord. My dogs come when I call them. I don't go after the dogs, they come after me. So, they are the Lord. So relatively, everyone enjoys one's little lordship. Absolutely, who is the Lord? Who is Ishvara? Who is Bhagavan? From the standpoint of this, in the light of the clear understanding of what the truth is, where is Lord? Everything comes and goes. Everything comes and goes. Everything changes. Yesterday's experience is different from today's experience. Today's experience is different from tomorrow's. Tomorrow will be different from what we have today. Pains change, pleasures go. Pleasures go, pain come again. There is continuously, everything is different. Therefore, Ishvara. say you want to be, you cannot handle it, if this fact is too abstract and subtle, instead of saying all that is as only Brahma, you can feel comfortable in saying all that is there is only Ishvara, Bhagavan. So what is only Brahma? What is only the reality? Everything is Brahma. What are you? Are you here? Other than outside of Brahma. What is only Brahma? I think somebody asked me last class. So somebody, I think Krishna, you know, somebody asked me, Aham Brahmasmi. It is not for us not to say this. It is not to express this. It is understanding, seeing beyond what our senses see. Seeing a fact which does not contradict our reasoning. Seeing beyond what our senses see. Seeing more than what we see through our physical instruments of perception. It's a fact. Aham Brahma Asmi. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Aham Idam Sarvam is a vision of the fact, which I have to see as I'm saying, along with me, as I'm talking. You are seeing, but it must be assimilated to enjoy the benefit of the vision you are having now. I'm seeing, but still I do not enjoy the benefit of it. Because you are seeing that the vision which doesn't remain assimilated, doesn't become handy in situations, for you not to be affected. What you need is assimilation. That is Bhagavan. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harih Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om. So, as I've been talking to you,